Good morning.
Good morning.
Count it a blessing and a privilege to be able to be with you this morning. To, if by the grace of God, as we've heard preached, the Spirit is with us to speak the name of Jesus Christ, and if in that we're blessed, it'll be profitable and beneficial for us. If not, my words will be brief, and we can sit down quickly and say it was good to have gathered together to hear the name. I am continually shown that life is a journey, and the journey that we have is ours individually. But I'm thankful in that journey as I go forward in life and I see things and I experience things. I'm able to meet people, to have interactions with family and friends and loved ones and those that I come in contact with, to be able from time to time to see the hand of God in situations, and as going forward, learning that in life, however long this journey is, that in all things, if I can look through it and say, there I felt the hand of the Lord, it was good to have been there. I'll tell you, I feel spiritually in a desert. And I know journeys are that way.
Sure, sure.
And they're uncomfortable. And rather than being mature and saying, Lord, I'll trust, being a child and saying, Lord, I don't want to be in the desert. I want to be back in that place. But it's part of the journey, right? It's part of the walk.
Right.
And we go through life and we meet people. And they're at a specific place in their journey. And we know that tomorrow's not promised, that today is in His hand, and yesterday doesn't matter. And I have thought in the last week or so, as I've read and studied and felt that desert place, Lord, what would you have me to do? And sometimes the question is asked and there's no answer. So you keep getting up every day and you pray, you read His Word, and you try to meditate. You say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And I was sorrowful when I heard that Brother Ronnie had passed. And I began to think on his journey. As a young boy growing up, I don't even know where, but he was a young boy and he grew up somewhere. He went to church and someone was diligent in making sure that he went when he was young. Somewhere along the line, he learned all of the things that we know that he did so well that made him unique. He met his wife and they had children. And that journey continued to go forward as a husband and a father, but as a man. And then one quiet morning, he got up, as he had done from that moment that he took his first breath. God blessing in that. He did the things that he probably has done for years, drawing some pleasure from it. I wonder if he was thanking God for another day, or sometimes as I am, Lord, getting old is hard. I think it's probably the first, thanking the Lord, doing the things that he loved and coming inside, closing his eyes. Now that story is unique to Brother Ronnie.
Right.
And your story will be unique to you. No telling how many more days. We've heard so many that are in need of our prayer. We're all in need of prayer. That as we continue in life, that we can feel the hand of God. And I'm amazed that as we hear the story over and over, we stand in awe that we serve a God that loves us so He sent His only begotten Son that we might have a home in heaven and immortal glory when this life is over. You know, the things that Brother Ronnie was seeing when he closed his eyes the last time was probably things he had seen many, many days repeated.
Right.
But can you imagine what he saw when he opened his eyes?
Wow.
He left those things behind that had given him joy, that he had probably worried about and prayed about. But when he opened his eyes, he saw God. And there was no more questions, no more prayers, no more concerns. Did I put the seed away? Did everybody know where my things are that I wanted them to have? None of that is concerning him. So as I was thinking on that, I spend a lot of time thinking about those things.
Right.
And they won't matter. Not one bit.
No.
And what I should be telling my children is that no matter how bad things get in life, you have the hand of the Father that holds you in all things that you do. Sometimes I'll fail. Sometimes I'll be afraid. Sometimes I won't know what to say or do. Sometimes I feel like I can't take one more step forward. But there is one that loves you, gave his Son for you,
right,
and desires a close relationship with you.
Right.
Wednesday, I'll be 51, another year, if we make it. Maybe the Lord will come. Maybe life will end. Who knows? But I'm not going to worry about the things that distract me. I'm not going to worry about what will I leave for them. I'm not going to worry about did I do all of these things correctly or not. What I want to impart on my children is that there is a God in heaven that loves you and desires a walk with you, no matter where you are in life. My oldest daughter has almost made a full circle round. She has a closer walk with God than I ever thought she could possibly have. Now, that's my short-sightedness. That's all to the Lord. My oldest son, we fished yesterday afternoon, the first time since he was a little boy. I wouldn't give anything for that time. We were out there, and we didn't worry about school, baseball, life. We just fished. We enjoyed our time. My youngest son is stepping into his own. God only knows where he'll be in. And the little princess, she wasn't a princess this morning. And that's why I'm here alone today, because I was becoming so frustrated as an almost 51-year-old with a 4-year-old. I just said, I'm going to church. We'll talk when we get back. She'll be fine. Life is so precious. And it's all about this moment. And do we feel the hand of God? And are we walking in a way that is pleasing to Him? I'm going to miss Brother Ronnie. He hadn't been here in a while. And he was very kind to me in the times that we spent together and the conversation we've had. He encouraged me in times when he probably didn't realize that he was. I guess it was yesterday when we heard this thought came to my mind, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I think I desire as I get older that I have less wants in this life, and that my desire is that I walk closer with Him. I've learned in my journey that no matter how far I go or what season that I'm in, that the hand of the Savior is always with me. He's my shepherd. Shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and there are some times when I need that. The pace of life sometimes gets to be so great that I feel that I'm missing opportunities to hear His voice. I heard someone speak a few Sundays ago that it's part of society today, that we are plugged in 24/7. And while there are things that we get from that, that constant communication, you know what it brings? Exhaustion.
Right.
It's exhaustion. You know, we look back and we say, well, my grandparents don't know what they're missing. They never had a phone that was constantly communicating with them. They never had the ability to take a picture of whatever mood that I was in, and I could put it out on social medias at any time so everybody knows what I'm feeling or thinking. But it's exhausting. Sometimes that green pasture is desirable, isn't it?
That's right.
Quiet. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, when we hear the prophet David saying these things, we know that from experience he was drawing from being a shepherd. He was speaking prophetically that there was one that would be coming that would be a shepherd to us. He would shepherd us into that family of God through the blood and through the work of his hand and his alone. But David had a very special, unique way of explaining it because he was a shepherd as well. He understood how important it was to lead the flocks into areas where there was green grass to eat, and there was cool places where during the heat of the day, or if being in that time where it felt like you were in the desert, you had a cool place that you could sit down. And we look at this and we hear the words of David as he's expressing the closeness that he had with the Savior that he had yet to meet, that he maketh me to lie down. Sometimes that's what I need. I just need to sit still. And I need to close the things of life off, and I need to meditate with the Father. And I need to hear His words to me, and the guidance, the wisdom, and the love, and expressions that He gives me as I go through the day. He leadeth me beside the still water. Sometimes, yesterday as I was fishing with Jacob, it was extremely hot. And we enjoyed it greatly, but there was a desire I had for some still, cool water. And didn't have that until we got back to the truck. But can you imagine at the time if you have gone through the path and it maybe has been a long journey in your life or in your mind, or it just feels that you're in that place. It's that cool, still water that our souls desire. And that's that closeness with God. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what?
Fear no evil.
I'll fear no evil. I've read on that here in the last few days and considered that we'll always have evil about. That is what life is here in this place. We will always be encouraged by the Word of God. We'll always have His hand on us, guiding us, but we will always be circled round and about from the evil of this world. And I feel like there are times when I begin to focus on those things more than I focus on the things of the simple quietness that I have in my communications with God. And I begin to focus more on the evil than I do on the things that are righteous and that are saving in the name of God. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We come into this place from time to time where you lose a loved one. And there is one thing in this life that God has given us, and that's an assurity that when this life is over, and when all things have been completed under the hand of God, that He'll arise from His place in heaven, and that all of this will be folded up as we go to be with Him. There's one thing that gives us comfort when we begin to look at the place that we're in, and that is the resurrection and the promise of the resurrection of the time to come and the story that we have of Jesus Christ. I'd like to take our time and attention just for a few minutes, and then I'm going to sit down. The 11th chapter of John. The last month or so, I've been considering two women that are in the Bible. And I'll be honest, there's still more study to do. I would encourage you to go into this next week as you're considering Martha and Mary. Consider their relationship. Consider the things that they experienced together. Consider their relationship as it was for each of them individually, but as they were together, the times that they spent in service to the Lord. There's some wonderful things that I think we could consider, and some aspects of the relationship that I trust that we have. But there's an interesting story, and it's not a parable, but there are some parabolic things that are taught regarding the resurrection in this communication that is found in the 11th chapter. And I'd like us to consider this, and then, like I said, we won't stand much past that. But in the 11th chapter, first verse of John, the writer continues with some thoughts. There was a certain man sick, and his name was Lazarus, of Bethany, of the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, the writer wants us to understand, as the stories are being told, who these women are and their relationship to Jesus Christ and the responsibilities that they had in his ministry. And again, for time, we won't go into all of that, but they helped in many, many instances that we read the word. They were there to support and make sure that as he was going through, that he was being cared for and fed. Wonderful, wonderful to consider. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. And I've always skimmed over this, but we know that there was a relationship that Christ had with Lazarus, and he had with many others, but there was a select few in the Word of God that we read that the writing says was close. Now, it doesn't mean that there was no one else. It just meant that Christ, as he was going forward, had a closeness with these individuals. And I believe part of it was because they were close to him.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
were with him.
Right.
And they went through their experiences together. So they had a closeness. Now, we know that John, the writer here, had a position that he felt he had, and certainly Christ did as well. They had a close relationship, and I look back on that, and I don't think we look at the relationship and we say, well, why would Christ have a closer relationship with anyone? Why wouldn't it all be glorious and the same? And we look at it, and it is glorious and the same. But my relationship with my mother is different than my mother's relationship with my other brothers. That doesn't mean that she loves me any different or more than my brothers or my father with me or my other brothers. It's just individual. Does that make sense? And so that's what we glean from this when we're reading these stories, the closeness that Christ had. He was connected in specific ways to these individuals. So Lazarus was sick. And as we begin this part, this whole thing ties around the understanding of the resurrection, which hadn't taken place yet. And this was a specific reason why some of the Pharisees thought different than the Sadducees. They looked at the resurrection as either being as Christ was teaching, or some of the group didn't see that there would be any resurrection at all. So they began to concern themselves because this man was sick. And if you had been with Christ as he had gone forward, you knew that he could do all things. You knew that he was the Son of God and that he was here for a specific reason. Now, I heard someone say a few Sundays ago he was a rock star. Now, I don't know that that's a great way to express who Christ was, but as he was going forward, there were those that were seeing his miracles, and some just wanted to be close so that they could continue seeing miracles. We also read that wherever Christ was with the congregation, they were being fed. So there may have been some that were following because they were hungry. And some may have just wanted to continue to be a part of this man that told stories like no one ever before. And I believe that there were some that in their walk had already been quickened and knew that this was the Son of God and wanted to draw close to him. We see that in various stories as well. So however you want to express how Christ was, he drew throngs for various reasons. And he was close to these women because there was a closeness with them. He loved them. He was connected with them. He loved Lazarus. And I'm not sure if there was a family connection there or not. I'll continue to study that. There may have been in several cousins removed, but I have a tendency to guess as we're reading this, there were reasons why certain groups followed Christ. There may have been relationships there. Let's move on. The sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, why would he do that? He had heard he was sick. He loved Lazarus. The Bible tells us in the description that he loved Martha and Mary. He could do all things. And in being on this side of salvation, he could have, in hearing that word 2 days away in travel, could have just said, Lazarus, be well. And he would have been well. But there was something that he wanted to teach. And there was a closeness that he wanted to have with those that he was teaching. He heard thereby that he was sick. He abode 2 days still in the same in the place where he was. And then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Aren't you glad that the apostles weren't responsible for any of the miracles that were performed? Or that the lack of understanding that the apostles had didn't hold the hand of Jesus Christ back? Their concern was, if we go back to Judea, we know the last time we were there, they sought to destroy you. None of that mattered to Christ. He came here for a specific reason. And in the times that he would have in walking here in this life, he knew specifically those that he would save, those that he would bring back to life, those that he would perform the miracles, those that he would feed, those that he would tell stories to if he was indeed a rock star. But he knew specifically what it was that he was doing in all things as he went through his journey. Jesus answered and said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he. After that, he had said unto them, our friend Lazarus, what? At this point, I believe they understood that something was changing in Lazarus, and that he was close to death. But he was making sure the apostles understood, as he was hearing 2 days away, that Lazarus is not dead. Now, he was not speaking physically. What he was teaching for us, brothers and sisters, is the power of what? The power of the resurrection. What he is beginning to describe to them in the journey that would be, and certainly in that time when he would speak to Lazarus specifically as he was dead, he was speaking to them the power of his word, the power of his mighty glory, and his ability to know where everyone is specifically in their journey. He was speaking to them that Lazarus is not dead, that he's asleep. But I go that I may awake him out of that sleep. Then said his disciples to him, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. If he's sick and he's sleeping, then he's okay. Howbeit, Jesus spake of this death, that they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly. And this, brothers and sisters, is for us today, plainly. This was for those that could hear his words, that thought he was a rock star, that could have been touched by it, that were hungry for that next basket of fish that would feed the multitudes, or the spoken word that said, who touched the hem of my garment? It was for those that could hear his word. And it was, Lazarus is dead. There's no question now that he's dead. What he had just said prior to being asleep was not incorrect. He was not mistaken. What he is teaching the apostles and those that would be a part of this situation as we move into it is that Lazarus is not asleep. He is dead. But you're going to see something that you'll remember for the rest of your life. And that power that will be demonstrated in that last day. And that power is that when Christ comes again and this world is done, All those that are asleep are not dead. They will rise again. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for how many days? 4 days, brothers and sisters. He was not only dead, he was dead. And he was beginning to be a part of that ground and that clay that his elder father, Adam, had passed down generation to generation. Lazarus' soul and spirit was gone, and that which remained is what all will remain for us when that same thing begins to happen to us. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem about 15 furlongs, and if my study was right, that's a little more than two miles. And many of the Jews came unto Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, this is the part I want us to consider today. I want us to consider Martha and Mary. I don't want to take away anything from your elder pastor for next Sunday or the Sundays to come. But consider Martha and Mary. Consider their relationship with Jesus Christ. Consider their relationship together. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and elder pastor, please correct me if I'm wrong, I believe they were sisters. I may have that wrong.
No, you're right.
Okay, thank you. I was rejoicing in what I was reading, and I was at the same time trying to go back and figure out from a hierarchy who everybody was, but I thought they were sisters. I wonder if there's something that's being lost today with families living as close as they did in that day.
Yeah.
Sisters being so close that they work together, and they work together in service to the Lord. I love some of the considerations that we're learning in this and keeping the family close. Bethany, many of the Jews came, 20th. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. We read of another account where this similar thing takes place. Whether one was A-type personality or B, it doesn't matter. But both were distinct and both were specific. One wanted to be with Christ as quickly as she could get there. One wanted to stay back and make preparation for the Son of God to come into this place. Martha, as soon as she heard, went to meet him, and Mary stayed still. Then as Martha, then said Martha, as she met up to Jesus Christ, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Do you think that would have been, if you're in that situation, would that have been the words that you spoke? Probably so. Seeing the things that you had seen and hearing the things that you had heard, if only you would have been here, our brother Lazarus would be still alive today. But then she says something very, very unique and very blessed. And I question, where does this understanding come from? Did someone teach this to her? Did someone somewhere back in her life explain that there is a day coming when the dead will be raised? She says this: if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Her words were, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Do you think she was looking short-sightedly at the power of Christ as he was standing there? I believe she had no idea that at this point in the decomposition of Lazarus, that he would be able to even raise a decomposing body. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I believe in my mind, she's thinking there is no way now that my brother can be raised again except in that last day.
Exactly.
Short-sightedness at the hand of God. There, as she's looking at the face of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in that resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, and this is why I'm so thankful that when we hear a dear brother laid down in his chair, closed his eyes, that we will mourn the loss of that soul that was a part of our group. But our rejoicing is in these words. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?
Yeah.
How powerful is that?
Right.
The Word of God in the flesh standing there with one that He loved, that is saying, if you just would have been here, if you could have just hurried, if you could have not stayed an extra 2 days in Judea, if you would have just come when you got word that Lazarus was sick, because he was alive then. That's why we sent word that he was sick, was that you would come and heal him. But in this, he asked a question. Martha, do you believe this? I'm asking us today, do we believe this?
Amen.
How do we have proof these thousands of years later that this story is true? Well, brothers and sisters, the reason we have proof in that is that our Savior rose.
Right.
He was dead in the grave 3 days. He started to smell. His body brothers, would have begun to decompose. It was His power that gives life that's going to demonstrate the power to Lazarus here in this moment, that is going to make Martha and Mary understand the power of God. And all those that were there, whether they wanted to hear another story, or they wanted another free meal, or they considered him a rock star, or whatever it was, they're getting ready to see something, brothers and sisters, that had never been seen before. And it was going to be by the power and the command of the Word that comes from the living Word, our Savior Jesus Christ. Do we believe this today?
Amen.
Even when we're in the desert, I still believe that the spoken word raised Lazarus in that day. And the spoken word will raise me when my body is laid in that grave. And even though times become difficult and it seems like, Lord, I can't take one step further, that same powerful hand, brothers and sisters, is the hand that I believe was on the shoulder of Martha in this moment, saying, do you believe? All these things that I've done and said and shown you and spoke in those quiet times, I've told you stories. Do you believe? I wonder what her answer was. Maybe outwardly she was saying, I believe. Inwardly she was saying, still. It's been 4 days. She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ. You think she was shown a specific thing? She was a child of grace, brothers and sisters, through and through. Sometimes we don't have an understanding of how things are, how they should be, and that's to our fault, not to Christ. But she knew who He was. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come unto the world. When she said so, she went her way and called her sister. Our relationship is individual with our Savior. And I don't know how many times I've read this, but I have never considered that He did not meet Martha in the same place that He met Mary.
Right.
It was a specific place. And that's sometimes where we have to go to hear His Word. In that place that is unique to us. It's that quiet place that's at the backside of the desert where our unbelief has begun to be so big that it hinders us in being able to see the power of God. When she had said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is coming. Can you imagine when she hears that word? And it's whispered in her ear, Peter, He's calling for you. In all of this, He desires to speak to you.
Right.
He is the good shepherd. He leads me beside the still water. He comforts me. He gives me green pastures to sit and still waters to drink. And He's saying, come unto me. Because I want to tell you something. As soon as she heard it, she arose quickly and came unto Him. She got up so quickly that those that were in the house noticed that she moved quickly to somewhere else. And listen to this as we go. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto Him. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met Him. The Jews then, which were in the house and comforting her, said, or they saw Mary, that she rose hastily and went out and followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Part of them were, what's wrong? Why is she going back to the grave? And some just wanted to know, where are you going? What are you doing? Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, what did she do?
Down at his feet.
I believe it was the same feet that she saw when she was washing them. When she was with him. She said, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and he was troubled. Now I'll just tell you, brothers and sisters, that is a mystery that is not understood by this simple mind. I don't understand why he was groaning. And maybe we'll understand that when we get there. Maybe we'll have moments in life where we say, ah, that must have been it. But I have no idea why the Son of God, the ability to do anything that he desired, was groaning inside. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said unto the Lord, come and see. And he wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind and caused even this man, should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, and certainly hearing these things and understanding these things, groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave and there was a stone laid upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Aren't you glad the Lord said, you're right, Martha, I'm too late. I'll just go back to where I was.
Yeah.
And aren't you glad that the short-sightedness of Martha's ability and understanding the hand of God didn't keep this miracle from happening here in this day? I'm thankful for it. I know she was after the fact. But we get to see the power of God demonstrated in his understanding, that he understands all things at all times. And you and I, brothers and sisters, can't get in the way of his mercy and grace. Jesus said unto him, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? When they took away the stone from that place where he was dead and lay, Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said this, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe, and that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, and what did he say? Lazarus, come forth. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Why? Because here comes a dead man, wrapped in his clothes from the grave, not decaying. And this is where my simple mind, and I'm going to. Do you think he smelled coming out? Don't know. He stunk for 4 days with clothes. Now, that's one of those things that we'll know when we get there. However, I don't believe that his flesh was decaying, and I don't believe that there was any smell that would have kept them from understanding that this demonstration of the hand of God is Jesus Christ manifest in his power. But let's back up. 44th verse. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about the napkin. And Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. I think that's what God said yesterday morning.
Yeah.
Brother Ronnie. Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus had done. As we take away the thoughts from this story, do you rejoice, brothers and sisters, in seeing the power of God demonstrated in his Son, his faithful Son? And the power that is demonstrated in so many things, there specifically in the life of Lazarus, but in that day, when this life is over, and Jesus Christ will ascend as he'll descend as he ascended in that day, his words will be spoken, and those that are asleep like Lazarus will be raised. And if you'd like to go into 1 Corinthians, I think 15, and read there how that change will look. But to see and to understand the power that will be demonstrated in that day. All bodies will be changed and will be raised. And those that remain will be changed and will be raised in that same life. I thank you for your time and attention. I ask you to continue to pray for me when in this opportunity that I have. Thank you.
I don't very often get an opportunity to share the pulpit with Mike, so if you'll just give me that opportunity. You'll be turning to 371. That's a song that we'll sing. Something came to my mind as Mike was speaking about this. If you look in 1 Thessalonians, you don't have to look there. I'll read it for you. Fourth chapter is one of my favorite books. 16th verse. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. If you look at the 43rd verse of where Brother Mike was, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice. Great similarity to that day. I heard a man say one time, and a man has visited us on several occasions, that he came from a group of people that believed in works as opposed to grace, and that there has to be something that you have to do. And the great majority of God's people believe that today. We're in the minority in that regard. And he said he was listening to a minister, a Primitive Baptist minister one time, and the minister was preaching on Lazarus, and he made this point real quickly. He said, the same power that went to the grave and woke Lazarus up and brought him forth is the same power that will raise the saints at the last day. And he said, and it's that same power that speaks to the dead and alien sinner, says live, that same power brings life where there was death. And the man said, you know, I'd never thought about that. He said, I'd never thought that when the Lord speaks to the dead soul, it lives. And from that came a renewed and a better understanding of salvation by grace. I heard a very dear friend of mine, minister, years and years ago, touch on this very same subject and followed it as Mike did, and was saying that this is in resemblance of the resurrection. And I kept thinking, it is, till it gets to a point. And when it gets to a point, the resemblance of the resurrection ends. And I've told Mike in years past, don't preach yourself into a box. And this man preached himself right into the box. He shut the door and he's there alone because he said, that's the resurrection. Well, here's the problem with that. When they took away those grave clothes, that sinner was still there. The resurrection will bring us from that body of sin into a body of perfection, just like Jesus Christ. I really appreciated what Mike had to say, and I'm thankful for how he said it and how he brought it to us this morning. We all go on the backside of the desert. We all go to a place, hard times sometimes, about what to do, how we're going to do it. But the Lord delivers. The Lord delivers. And he delivered David. He delivered untold number of his saints from that very same position. And he delivers us. Well, Mike, I enjoyed what you had to say. Lord bless you. If we stand and sing number 371, if you have a desire to join the church, this is your opportunity. I'm going to ask this morning that we not take the right hand to fellowship. This is our time for conference, so we're going to go into conference. If you realize that you have something you need to do and you didn't know it was conference, I understand this is an opportunity for you to leave if you'd like. We'd love for you to stay. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe.